curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Sones, and I am once again here with Ron Kitchens. Happy to be here again with you today, Ron. How is it going?
I am awesome.
There it is, folks. He is awesome. He is in the house, and I know he is really excited about today's podcast because we're going to talk about staying true to your dreams. And just to kick things off, Ron, I know you've been in economic development now for 35 years of your career, and economic development has been an amazing career for you, and you have such passion for that field and that industry. But lo and behold, you almost were in the dental business.
I was.
So talk to me a little bit about that, because that doesn't seem anywhere close. Dental and economic developer are on opposite sides of the world in my mind. So I don't know how you almost switched over there.
So, yeah, both of them are, I don't know, about a mouse. I don't know. But to be clear, I wasn't going to be a dentist. I was offered a role to be the president of a dental insurance company. And I should go back and track a little bit. So as regular listeners know, you know, I grew up very poor. And it took me 8 years to get through college. And so about a year out or so from graduating, I'd gone to Lynn's father and got his permission to ask her to marry. And, you know, it wasn't one of those old-fashioned things where I had to go see the godfather. It's just like, hey, do you mind? But he said, you know, the one thing I ask is that you graduate from college. So I won't feel good about that if you don't. And which is the plan already, but, you know, but I made a commitment to him, and I made a commitment to Lynn that if we toughed it out for another year, that we could, that I would graduate from college and then start that career. So I am in the last, I have one semester to go, and a friend approaches me who I had known socially, but not really professionally, and said, hey, I'd like to talk to you. And he sets me down with a group of other dentists and says, we're going to start a dental insurance company. We need a president of the company. We want you to run the thing. And here's the salary. Here's the benefits. You'll get a percentage of the company annually. You'll have ownership after 5 years. It was, on paper, a dream job. But you have to start essentially tomorrow. So I go, Lynn and I sat down and I said, you know, we've got it made. We can have essentially any house you want now. In reality, now I know that wasn't it, but I didn't know any house better than what that salary could have afforded. And here's what it's going to be. And we're set. And we're going to get rich. And she said, well, you know, that's amazing. What a great, you know, opportunity, but that's not our plan. Now we can change our plan, but we need to talk about our plan, not about the job. So let's talk about the plan. Now, at this point, you know, our goal was to have enough money that we could buy toilet paper, you know, in multi-pack rolls and not have to buy it weekly because we were so broke.
It's a simple thing.
Yeah, the simple things. Yeah. So, you know, I was driving an old, awful Honda Civic, where the seat was so broken down, I had chunks of wood holding it up, and the brakes didn't work well, so I had to use the emergency brake and the foot brake at the same time. It would have been a huge opportunity. But when we talked about the commitments I'd made to people, the work that I had done to quit one semester early for something that wasn't even on our radar, did it really make sense? And it became really clear to me that it didn't make sense, that it wasn't our dream. And there's nothing wrong with people giving you opportunities that weren't on your radar, but you got to make sure they still fit within your dream. And to me, it just wasn't. And I went on to graduate from college and have had a incredible career in economic development. It took like 6 or 7 years of work to get to where my salary was going to be on that day, but it soon surpassed it. And they sold the company a couple of years later. And that guy was high and dry and never earned any of those options none of that. It worked well for the dentist, but it wouldn't have worked well for me.
It really strikes me, Ron, about setting dream goals, because we're moving so fast and the world is moving so fast and we're inundated with so many much information and offers, and there's so many different careers out there than what you even realize there were. At least for me, I look at it and I'm like, man, if I had to go to college now, I don't even know what I would go into, because I'm just exposed to so much more. Yeah. And the impact that having your kind of plan or your goal written out on paper and really using that strategically as you make decisions for the long haul is so important nowadays, because you can find a job that makes more than what you have right now, but the potential earnings may not be the same 5 years from now. So having that goal is so important. And it's easy to get distracted. I know you've probably known a lot of people who have taken on different things and got distracted from those goals. Do you have any words for the listening audience on things that you do on a day-to-day basis? I know that you're getting other offers to move to different communities, to do different things, to serve on different boards. I mean, you name it, like there's all kinds of different opportunities out there, job related or just like people wanting to have you come speak. And sorting through all those opportunities can be overwhelming and it can be easy to just make impulse decisions. What are the strategies you're using to kind of stay focused and to stay away from those, you know, kind of tempting things that you occasionally are like, oh, that could be fun, but nope, I got to stay focused. Yep.
So I'm not sure I ever told this story before. So when I was in high school, so I must have been a junior in high school, my football jersey number was 63. And it happens to also be the year I was born, if you're counting on that. And so for some reason, I got in my head that I was going to go through the Bible and find every chapter and verse that was 6-3 and read it. And I don't have any idea what put that in my head, but I only made it to Nehemiah 6-3. And if you know Nehemiah and you know the story, and depending on which version of the Bible you have, or, you know, which translation, but it's the story of this guy named Nehemiah. And he works for a king. He's a slave. He's controlled by this king, and he's the food taster, the wine taster, which is somebody you got to really trust if this guy's going to keep you from getting poisoned, because it wasn't somebody intentionally poisoning you. It was foodborne poisoning that they were worried about. So Nehemiah was supervising the food to make sure it was clean so the king didn't die, King Artaxerxes. So Nehemiah begins to have these repeating dreams. And I'm somebody who has repeating dreams too. I assumed everybody did. And I find out that the vast majority of people don't, but I have repeating dreams. So I really liked this story about this guy who had these repeating dreams. And he dreamed of saving a place, saving Jerusalem. He'd never been there. His family wasn't from there. It wasn't like his, you know, grandmother was telling him about how awesome it was. He'd never been there. He just knew it was home to the Israelis, to the Jews, and he was Jewish. And he kept hearing these stories from the travelers about how the town was being victimized. So his dreams kept showing him rebuilding the town, called the rebuilding. So he goes to his boss, Artaxerxes, and says, hey, I'm having these dreams and I feel really called to do this and I can't get it off my conscience. And the king says, you know what? You've been a trusted servant. If you want to go do that, I'll give you the supplies. I'll give you some people. You go do that. And then just give me your commitment that when you're done, you'll come back. So off they go. So Nehemiah gets there and I begin to rebuild the wall. Well, if you're the victimizer, if you're going in stealing people, stealing crops, stealing, charging taxes that you don't have any right to charge, if you're that person, you don't think he's such a good guy. So what you're like scheming to kill him. You're scheming to work against him. You're telling lies. So, well, he's just doing this because he's going to imprison you inside of the walls. If you're somebody who's never lived in safety, the idea of change, even if it seems good, will be very scary. You know, my wife, Lynn, worked in a children's home when we first got married. And, you know, the hardest part for her was these children had been victimized. After a week or two, all they wanted to do was go home, even though it was awful. But the fear of change was harder than the fear of getting abused again. And so that's what these people, the Israelis, were in, was they were convinced that Nehemiah, so they're coming at him and trying to poison him. And Nehemiah just says, I don't have time for you. I'm going to stay on the wall and I'm going to rebuild the wall. And so then it became, oh, well, we'll throw a party for him. We'll flatter him into not doing his work anymore. You know, as economic developers, as business leaders, as church leaders, we can deal with the attacks. We know they're coming. You know, the social media trolls, the people who spread rumors about us, the foolishness that happens. We know that's coming. And as painful it is, we can deal with it. But it's the flattery that, you know, take some time off work, join this board because you're smart. Don't you want to hang out with these people? Let us give you this honor. And that's what was happening in Nehemiah. We want to throw you a party. All they were trying to do is get him off his ladder to stop the work from going forward. And Nehemiah said, no, I can't come down. I have a great thing to do. And 57 days later, after showing up, a wall that had been torn down for more than 100 years was rebuilt and the city was secure because Nehemiah stays on the wall. And so every morning pops up on my phone, you know, Nehemiah 6:3 pops up just to remind me that I'm going to have opportunities today. I'm going to be attacked today. I'm going to have things that try to throw me off my game. But I don't have permission to allow that to happen because I have a plan for what I have to achieve. And now that's easy to say. It happens sometimes. It happens to all of us. But I have a safe place to go back to, a place that I know that, okay, I've thought this through. Here's what's going to happen. And then I can look at these opportunities and say, is that something that's trying to pull me off my mission? Or is that something that's trying to give me more bricks to build my wall with? If it's more bricks, then I'm going to take care of it and I'm going to do that. If it's just pulling me off my mission, whether it's something I want to do or not, I can't take that opportunity then because I have a responsibility to meet those expectations.
It really strikes me, Ron, as a great strategy for staying, you know, focused on your goal and having that constant daily reminder. But I know you've challenged myself and other people who have set a goal and said, you know, that is a great goal, but I think you're probably going to be there in like, you know, a couple of weeks. So is that really your goal or is that a milestone to get to your goal? And sometimes people set goals that are pretty easily attainable, and I know you've pushed it's not big enough. What advice do you have for the listening audience as they're setting their goals and really thinking, you know, is that a lofty goal that is still reasonable, but is what is the real goal here? Because often we set the goal as really the first milestone.
That's right. Because we're scared to say out loud the greatness that we want to achieve. When I work with leaders, when I talk with people, it's that fear of saying, this is who I want to be. And Bob Goff, you know, he's a great friend, has been with us a bunch of times at Catalyst University. Bob said something, and I will butcher it, but if you're not following Bob, go follow him. He's an incredible leader. But Bob says, Lord, don't let me ever be great at something that doesn't matter. And you know, this book I just finished was The $1 Trillion Coach. And in that book, there's a little vignette in there about Bill Campbell, the coach who's helped all these CEOs be great, goes into CEO's office and says, congratulations, you're the king of not sucking. But I don't think you took this role to not suck. So what are you going to do to be great? And so too many of us set goals at just not sucking, that are just a little better than the average or the standard. There's no greatness in that. You have to set really big goals. If the goal isn't so big that you lose sleep on how you're going to achieve it, the goal isn't big enough. And I like my sleep, but I also, man, I don't want to go to work every day working on a goal that in the end, everybody goes, yeah, congratulations, you don't suck. I want to work on goals that people see us do it and go, how in the world did they have the courage to do that? That's what makes great leaders energized, and that's what makes the differentiator between status quo organizations and elite organizations.
So in today's podcast for the leadership audience, I think there was a couple key messages as we get ready to wrap up. But, you know, related to goals, really thinking about, like, what is your goal, and making sure that that goal is truly aspirational and not just a milestone, if you will, because we want to be better than just not sucking. Also thinking about, you know, who are the people and what are the strategies that you have to keep you on track for that. Ron talked about, you know, Lynn, his wife, really talking about, you know, that's great. That's a great opportunity, but that's not our plan. And the importance of having not only those people, but other strategies to kind of keep you in the day to day, because, you know, part of what every leader experiences is a little bit of the grind. You get in seasons where you need that constant reminder, like, I'm doing great work and I can't come down. And there are moments in leadership that it really is just a grind. So having those individuals, having the plan, and then having those daily reminders or prompts that remind you to keep going. So Ron, thank you again for your insight on today's podcast. I look forward to next week's podcast with you, and I will talk to you then.
See you then.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.